Committee meeting in order. Start with the roll call.
Supervisor O'Day.
Here.
Supervisor Stocker.
Here.
Supervisor Stock.
Here.
Supervisor Nordigan.
Present.
And Belsky, Carroll, and Thomas are all excused.
That's correct. Youth and Governance.
Youth and Governance. Phoebe.
Here.
And Alex Shire.
New guy.
Yeah, new guy.
Alex, and I haven't heard anything
from Jay.
From Jay.
Okay, that's fine. Okay.
Alec is visiting from Executive Committee. I said this is where you break out the finals and all that kind of stuff. So.
You can take off the bulletproof vest. Okay. Any citizens' comments? Any citizens' comments? I see no citizens. Therefore, well, I see citizens, but no citizens' comments. Citizens' comments are closed. Approval of minutes from the previous meeting. And a motion to approve.
Motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
Approved by Stocker, second by O'Day. Any discussion? All right, Youth and Governance, vote on the minutes.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, committee?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. I am going to say my potential goodbyes tonight. As the election is coming up, a few things have to happen for all of us to be on these committees, as well as myself, if I'm going to be chair, as one, I have to be reelected. I'm planning on that, so. Two, whoever the new chairman is has to point us all to these committees as well as the chairman. So, should none of those or either of those happen, I just want to say what a pleasure it's been to be part of this committee. I'm not going to say in charge, ahead of, or anything like that. I am just one of others. And I appreciate the staff, all the work you do. Everything's been terrific. I've had no complaints from myself. Youth and Governance, you make many of the meetings, you get involved. Very happy and thankful for that. And the rest of the supervisors, I do hope, well, John, I don't know, you're not running for re-election.
No,
so,
no, this is my last meeting.
The next time, if I'm in this meeting, I see you in a meeting, I'm sure it's from a citizen's comment. So. But I just want to say that it's been my pleasure to serve, and I hope to continue. Any other, anything else I'll have will be in the meeting. So, any other supervisors, do you have any reports or comments? No? All right. Then let's get to business here. Resolution to approve the reappointment of Patrice Hall to the Kenosha County Traffic Safety Commission. We have, go ahead, Clement.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is just a routine or typical process that we typically do whenever a person is appointed to the Traffic Safety Commission. It has to go through this board for the general, to follow this process for the county board to finally approve. So what we have today is a resolution to reappoint our medical examiner, and she has been in this position for more than 9 years, I suppose.
I started here in Kenosha in September of 11, and I've been at it since I started.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's my pleasure to request for the approval for this reappointment, because I work closely with her, and she's a critical component for that commission, about explaining toxicology, explaining what happens and sometimes the causes of death. And that helps us as traffic engineers to be able to design or develop other ways to mitigate those crashes. So it is very, to me, it's more personal because it helps me a lot in my profession, but at the same time, it is a very critical component which she has handled so excellently for the past 9 years that I've been in this group. So again, I'll give you the floor to Patrice if you want to say a word or two.
Let's get a motion.
Oh, sorry.
I like a motion. Second.
Stack and O'Day. first and second. Okay. Further questions?
Maybe you should be the one to ask. I'm so excited.
Any discussion? I know that Ms. Hall, do you go by doctor? Or
no, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a doctor.
Sure.
I'm a layperson medical examiner.
Okay.
Maybe a fancy title of medical examiner.
Yeah.
And so if you're putting into a larger county, like Polk or Milwaukee, I'd be considered the chief investigator.
Okay.
So I oversee all of our investigators here at Kenosha County, and then I oversee the day-to-day operations, all the investigations, media. I sit on the traffic safety team. I'm on the child death fatality review team. I'm on the overdose fatality review team. I'm on the Falls Coalition. I'm on a lot of different coalitions to try to make things better in Kenosha County and help prevent deaths. So.
Are there any questions at all? No? All right. Seeing no more questions, and thank you for the information, Clinic. Youth and Governance, how would you vote on this resolution?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Committee?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Motion is carried. Thank you very much for your continued important interest in everything you're doing.
I'm not bored.
I bet.
Not bored.
Okay, let's go to our Facilities Division, Matt Storino. Do you have a report? Do you have anything additional to add to your report?
Thank you, Chairman. No, I do not. The report is, I do want to comment, though, I do have a typo in some of my dates published in the PSP Joint Services Washroom. All the pre-bid activity happened in this year, 2024. I do have some dates in there that reflect back to 21 for the tables. All this work did take place this year, so I didn't want to bring that up. But other than that, everything is as it's reported.
Okay, so the bids are due on 3-6-2024.
24, correct.
Okay. Anybody have any questions for Matt on our facilities? No? All right. Thank you for the correction, Matt.
Thank you, Chairman.
We'll move on to Parks. Shelley will be taking over at Parks. You want to do it now or just do it all at one time when you do your regular report?
I can do Parks.
Okay.
There's no changes to the division report, and we are in the negotiation phases of our director position, so we should hear this week.
I think I have. Anybody have any questions for Shelley on Parks?
I don't know if this is the right place to bring it.
Yeah, go ahead, because Kemper is part of Parks. Go ahead.
Kemper Center plan, will that be presented here first before it's presented to the board?
It'll be presented at the board, but it'll have be released at a date of April. The reason is they could only really be flown in for one meeting, so it was able to schedule the May 7th so that everybody could hear it at once. They do fly in from Arizona.
So the presentation will be in what month? I'm sorry.
May 7th will be the presentation before the board meeting, and then we are hoping to release the report early mid-April.
Tim, good?
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else? Go ahead.
And I know it's probably will come out with the study, but have we looked, in regards to Kemper, I see we're fixing the gymnasium doors. Have we looked at the costs of handicap accessible ramps? I know some of the issues that have been brought up over the years with Kemper, have we at least priced it out? Have we done anything to that effect?
No, so the report will come out, and then we'll have some recommendations as the committee as to how we want to proceed with their report actions, and then
Okay. We'll
move into the next phase if we're going to rehab any of those areas for any purposes. That kind of thing will come into the next phase.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Anybody else? All right. Thank you, Shelley. Frank.
Thank you, Mr. Sherman. Actually, if we can, I'd like to lead off with Chris's fuel station cost benefit analysis.
Okay.
So it was sent as a, like a second that, email.
That's the fuel station, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, analysis.
So when we were requested to put this together last meeting or do some type of analysis, we figured that the pros would outweigh the cons, because why else would anybody build a station as part of the municipality and whatnot? But we were quite surprised to see what amount that the savings actually add up to. Now, I only have the insurance premium in here. Obviously, there's some annual upkeep, electricity, and fuel keys that come with obviously owning and maintaining the fuel station. On an annual basis, that can run anywhere between $5,000 to $10,000, so it's not anything significant that changes these numbers too drastically. And I thought that it would be super easy to just find the average gas for Wisconsin. Not as easy. You think it's a simple Google, you know, check, and there it is. But I was able to find AAA's site, and that's what the back supporting documents of what that fuel report is. And almost all the articles that you read about fuel averages and that reference that site. So I thought it was pretty reputable to go off of. And it does change daily. So a lot of these price differences, I was like, man, 60, 70 cent difference, that's wild. Now, granted, it changes day to day. So comparing 315 to 319, there could have been a couple cent change between those days. But just to kind of true it up, our last fuel bid, actually it was Joint Services' last fuel bid. They got the mid-grade bid award at 324. The average on AAA site for that day was 388. So it was a 64 cent time average compared to current, and that's Kenosha County. AAA actually goes down to the county level. That's in like the supporting document too. So it's pretty safe to say that these numbers are pretty close to apples to apples, maybe apples to apple slices, but at the bottom, just to try and give it more of a closer knit grouping, I do provide what the Joint Services average cost in 23 was and the highway's average cost. It differentiated by 3-4 cents. And then I said, okay, let's lower the average for Kenosha, 13-ish cents down to just an equal 350. You're still seeing 78,000, 65,000. Again, if you took 5 to 10 off of that for annual upkeep, you're paying this thing off in 10, 12 years. So the analysis far outweighs any of the cons that otherwise could have been there. Police waiting down the street to fill up mid-shift. It also doesn't account for the fuel stations. When they get their gas, they have to put in their mileage, and that translates right into the fuel system, so they're able to keep records of when the oil changes, everything of that sort. If we didn't have the fuel stations, all that's going to have to be done manually, whether the driver's reporting it to somebody or that somebody's actually going out and reading each truck. So it saves a lot of time that way as well. So it was requested. Supervisor Carroll's obviously not here, but the analysis is definitely Kenosha's in the right path of putting in or renewing that fuel station at the PSP.
Anybody have any questions? Go ahead.
And what was the lifespan? Are we pushing 30 years with the current one, or are we?
Yeah, 40 years actually.
40 years,
1980.
And are we expected to get that same length out of the new one?
Yeah, we should be able to get that out of the tanks themselves, yes.
And where are we at with the one that's here?
2017, brand new.
Oh, in 2017,
yeah.
So we're not gonna have to deal with this anytime soon. Okay. Yeah, thanks for putting this together. I do this personally for my company. I have 1,000 gallon above ground that saves me a ton of money, just in labor alone going in and out of the gas station. But it's nice to see the numbers up there. That's all.
Anybody else have any questions?
Just a question.
Go ahead, John.
On the courthouse.
Yes.
Is there any update as to where we are with the courthouse remodeling funding?
Yes, actually,
just to round it off, I think we're just under 600,000 in pledges and or direct pledges and donations. There are Harbo actually has put in writing that they're going to pledge $250,000. There's one other corporate person that has verbally committed, and you know what? Actually, I might have got ahead of myself with Harbo. They've committed, but I think they're working on with the county exec to make that public. So
we'll wait.
They might have already agreed to that, but they were going to decide how to do it. So I guess don't bring that up in the county board. and we actually, the Trelawney Foundation, which is part of the Pritzkers, that's putting up the military museum here, we submitted for a $400,000 grant from them. There's two stages to it. We passed the first stage. They asked for more information, and we actually just had a conference call with them and answered their questions, and they're supposed to let us know by mid-April. So keep our fingers crossed for that.
You'll have to come to a meeting, John, when you're
Find out. I think it's important for the new supervisors after the April 2nd election that we have something to give them information and keep that on the front burner. But I think that's really going to be an important thing going forward to get them all on board, whoever's there, you know, make sure.
Yeah, right, well taken.
I think Frank will keep everyone in touch on that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But point well taken. Anything for Chris to answer on the fuel analysis before we get into Frank's report?
I thought it was great.
Chris did a fabulous job.
That's a lot of work for
you.
A lot of work.
So, okay. Just to follow up with a couple of points on the report. We were talking about Koshak was tentative roofing for the Brookside Shingle Roof Project. We got that all nailed down, gave it a PO. They'll start in August.
That was the Brookside?
Brookside Shingles Roof Replacement, okay. The first one. So that worked.
Yep.
That was tentative last time we talked. We got it all nailed down, got them a PO, got them scheduled for August. We released the bid for the fourth and final phase of the KCDC HVAC replacement projects. So that's going out to bid, and the bids will be due back on May 1st. I'm just pointing out a couple new things.
Mm-hmm. And that was on the which bid?
KCDC HVAC replacements phase 4.
Phase 4. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. Got it. Okay.
And a new one was the tower geo-redundant upgrade for the sheriff and county fire radios. It was over a year ago. All of the sheriff department radios and county fire radios went down throughout the whole county. We did an entire analysis of what happened. There was a lightning storm that day, but we getting everybody together, we got to the root cause where the breaker was tripped on the generator. We went into why it was tripped, but bottom line was we found a point of failure nobody thought about. Everybody normally, backup generator would start up and it would be running fine. So working with the engineers at Motorola, we came up with the brains. It's a long story, but the towers in Kenosha to get the coverage, they're synced down to the millisecond, sending their signals between towers so they can cover everything, but so that when the signals overlap, you can still hear it, that one is not overlapping the other where it's knocking it out. So it's a very sophisticated system. The brains for that are here, and once they lost power and the batteries died, everything went down because the brains were here. So this is a second set of brains that we're going to put either down at the PSB, the tower there, or 60th Street, We're still kind of deciding which one's the best, so that you have a second set of brains in a completely separate location. If we lose power here, if we had a tornado that took out the whole building or tower, that all of the system would still stay up. So that's on here.
And this is going to sit down either at PSB or the 60th Street Tower?
Correct.
If that's where the... Did we go with the 60th Street Tower, or is that...
We were leaning towards it, but we wanted to get this on order, and then I'm going to have the engineers make the final determination. But the important thing is that we have another second set of brains in a separate location.
Right.
That'll be... So if anything happened here, the other location would, it'd be seamless.
Anybody have any questions for Frank on that?
Was the tornado siren on your report, or was that on a different one? I think I saw it last month. I was just curious.
Okay.
If we...
You probably could add it to Frank's report.
Yeah,
weather siren. So I am in discussions with the City of Kenosha Park Division for amendment to their easement.
Okay.
We were able to finally track down the easement documents, so there's a couple different revisions that are going through the city right now for review. Once we've accepted those changes, we'll put it on for board and common council.
So the City Council will have to pass something as well?
Okay. Frank?
That's it.
You good?
Thank you.
Any more questions for Frank? All right. Thank you, Frank. Mr. Clement.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Oh, I can't wait. This is... So this is my final report. I leave, so I've been waiting. I wanted to go first, but they refused. So.
Should we make him read the first year?
Yeah. So I'll make sure I take all the time.
Yeah. Go on the door to chat.
Anyway, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The first thing I want to report, I just briefly gave Supervisor Stock an update before. I wanted to talk to him before I bring it here, because he was the one who requested for it. I'm happy to report that the structural integrity, the health of our trails are good. We have all the trails were rated from 1 to 10, and majority of them are rated were rated from 6 and above, which is good. All the trails along the road, because those were just recently constructed, most of them, so they're still in top shape. Around the minimum was 8, so 8 to 10. 10 being K, K was just constructed, mm-hmm. Right? So the health of those trails are good. However, the North-South Trail, there were some sections that we identified as 5 and 4, which are close to getting ready for maintenance. And in this case, what we require, I think, is mainly crack sealing. The foremen who did the survey were not in favor of doing it now because the cracks are still tight. They prefer to give them maybe a year. Otherwise, they will have to grind them and open them up, and that's additional work and that kind of thing. So, based on that, they're waiting for parks to determine whether they want us to do the crack sealing. If they want us, we'll do it, but they think 1 year will not be any much of a problem, and they can wait next year. But again, parks could be very meticulous to how they want their thing pristine, and they say, no, go ahead and do it. We'll be happy to do that for them.
And you said that which one of the trails? Was the north side?
North south. Some sections, north, south. Not okay. The entire thing. Some sections were rated at 4 and 5.
Okay. Yeah, I think kind of what we were talking about before the meeting is, I think the concern would just be when it gets to the point where it could become a tripping hazard. You know, a lot of families pushing strollers up and down those paths. So if it gets to the point where it could be a tripping hazard for little feet, whatever, you know, that's when we should pull the trigger and if Parks is making that determination, then, you know, I guess that sounds like a good plan to me. If they're the ones, who's like mowing the grass over there maintaining? Is that Parks? Yeah, so yeah, they're able to keep an eye on it. They see something that's, but I like the rating system. Hopefully you guys can do that maybe in the off season, just something that you can do in the winter, something like that to check in, make sure that we're staying on top of them.
Yes, so the game plan is to be part of what we call our PASTA ratings. We do the same ratings for our highways. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to include that as part of the rating because it's still the pavement. That way gives us an idea where we should focus. It'll be more of a targeted repair instead of just doing all the repairs.
And I think the concern would be, and we've repaved most of them, so they're fine right now, but in the county highways where we have them designated as bike trails, even though there's nothing more than a shoulder, right? Those, making sure that when those shoulders start deteriorating even a little bit, that's going to affect, you know, the people that are biking on there. So I like what I'm hearing. Sounds like a great plan. So thank you for doing that. I appreciate it.
Before I go into my report, there was a letter. This was rushed because we wanted to make sure we repurpose some funds and get some very needed equipment that we need. So we had to do it quickly so that it can be approved during this process. I think finance and county board next week.
No. It gets presented to everybody here. It's not really an action item. It's informational. And then it also gets presented to finance in the same fashion. Because of budget resolution language, we have the authority to do it, but to be transparent and let everybody know what we're doing with it, that's the process that kind of goes through.
Yeah. So we were looking to get some cost savings. Mm-hmm. And so we want to, in order for us to repurpose that cost savings, we want to be transparent and to bring it up here, bring it to the committees, as Chris just said. So that letter, I'm not sure whether you guys got them, but if you didn't know, it was because we got everything set up by Friday. So if you did not get them, we can always send those letters, samples of those letters, what we'll be sending to finance, requesting for a repurposing of the funds. Did you guys get it or not?
The letter?
The letter?
Yeah, it's in our packet.
We got the letter.
Okay. Yeah.
So then, therefore, we're good with that.
It's informational now.
Yes.
It's got to go to finance.
Correct. The next one is resolution to approve the jurisdictional transfer agreement of part of County Trunk Highway N to the city of Kenosha. This is the section between 128 going west to UE, but excluding the intersection with UE. There's a lot of development going out there. U-Line is doing a lot of construction, and so there'll be some accesses to those properties. And that, based on the recommendations from the city and the developer, they want to make the road section urban, and once it goes urban, we typically would transfer it to the local municipality, in this case the city. The city and the county are in discussions, and they are working in tandem as we are going ahead to approve our own the resolution. The city is doing the same according to their own schedule. Hopefully they'll all be completed at the same time. And then and once that is done, then we recommend that the road, that section of highway N be jurisdictionally transferred to the city. Of course, the resolution is one thing, the MOU, but finally it has to go to the DOA, and there are some few steps to take, but this is the hard part, this is the heavyweight. If we don't have this deal, we will not even look at it. So we are recommending that we should approve it. If we approve it, and then we would.
And then the city can handle all the maintenance update and all that.
Correct.
Going forward. And this is, go ahead.
Is this already paved the fullness that they want? We going to be responsible to do that, or are they going to do that?
The developer will be responsible for upgrading and everything regarding the improvements needed. And all we're going to be doing is the city can take it after it's completed.
Right, and that's where the new, another U-line.
U-line, yes.
U-line's going in there, right?
We'll be reviewing the plans, and they're doing top design. And we're making sure it meets our standards. The city, too, is making sure that
right.
it meets the standards on which it's good.
And then this will go to finance as well for them to approve, right? All right, is there a motion to approve, or is there any more questions?
Well,
let's go with the motion first. Get a motion.
Second.
From Stock and a second from Stocker. Don't get those mixed up. I do all the time. So, is there any discussion, any further questions or concerns that have been brought up at this point on this resolution? All right, seeing none, youth and governance, how do you vote on approving this transfer to the city of Kenosha?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Rest of the committee, any vote? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. No opposed? All right. Carry.
Okay. My divisional report, I do not, I don't have any changes to make. I just want to take one hard look because this is my last one. So,
can we have, him read through the whole thing just for old time's sake?
I used to do that.
I know. Now this guy came in and made it easy. It's awesome.
Well, I hope people are reading these things prior to
coming. I am.
That's
I'm reading
thing.
It.
Reading same with everyone else. I think it's nice to have redundancies and backup generators and switches and stuff like that. We don't have to have it here. So, or at the county board.
I noticed a lack of milk. Boxes being knocked down this winter.
Maybe in the city.
That happened, right?
Well, this year was the best year because probably because there was no snow.
Yeah, wonderful.
Okay.
Were you guys prepared for this last bit? That this surprise, or you just?
I would tell you that they were excited. I'm waiting for it. Said, oh.
Something like, to do.
Not that I want to see it snow in Madison when you start up there, but it would be kind of neat to see what happens if it does.
No. We'll see.
That was mean.
Any other questions for Clement? I know Highway 50, the signs are up for the crossover coming. I think Thursday they moved it to because of the weather and everything, but...
Yeah, just one that you talk about signs. I just remember one more thing.
Go ahead.
I completely forgot to put it in. We'll be conducting a pilot speed study project, study along County Trunk Highway L. The signs went up today. The reason I'm saying that is we have, I don't know whether you are aware of a bill that is in the Senate now. Regarding the speed limits, that we should have authority to lower it about 10 to 20 miles an hour. One of the reasons is because the traditional way of doing speed study is very unlikely that you're going to get a lower speed limit. Because people drive at the posted speed limit, a little bit more above the posted speed limit, not to get a ticket, but to go a little bit faster. So the way the traditional speed study is done, it takes what the current or the existing traffic speed and average it and then find out the 85th percentile. And the 85th percentile is what 85th percentile simply means the speed at which 85% of the public is traveling at or less. And if they are all traveling fast, there is no way that the 85th percentile is going to be lower than the speed limit. And so because of that, generally, I've never done a speed study and come, and you can testify, and certain times it doesn't make sense and you ask questions and I've never done one and get a lower speed limit. So we decided to think out of the box. It's not almost impossible. So we came up with an idea. The idea is put up the signs and monitor how the people drive and see whether they're lowering the speed limit because of the signs. So that's what we're doing along L. So we're going to do that and study it for 6 months. and then collect the data, and then we'll do the reporting here after 6 months. Telling you, I sincerely believe that it's going to do what it's been doing. But again, I'm not a magician. I just think that because people drive based on the speed limit that they see, they go a little bit more. And so if you take it down to 45, say, I believe that they will drive now a little bit lower so that they get it, and then it will stay within the speed.
So, go ahead.
So what has led to this? Is there complaints about speeding here, or is there accidents that are driving this?
Yes. About 5 years ago, we got complaint about speed there.
5 years
ago? I think. I don't want to be very categorical.
We jumped right on that one.
I think we did a speed study, and it shows that the 85th percentile was around 56. Again, I'm not quoting that number categorically, but it was higher. It shows that the posted speed limit of 55 was the right posted speed limit. Mm-hmm. And recently, we got another complaint about the speed study, and we did a preliminary fast check, and it showed that speed limit is still the same as what it's supposed to be. And so, but again, if you want to look at things, how things are happening out there, are we doing these speed limits just to satisfy standards, or are we doing it for the constituents? Are we doing it for the public, or are we doing it just because that's what the standard says? And sometimes the standards sometimes have fault, and people are driving differently, cars are driving differently, they're going faster, they have more, they can maneuver them very easily, and things like that. And the speed for the cars now, you can easily get 200 miles, and you can hit those 200 miles. 15 years ago, you can't hit 200 miles an hour. So all those things are changing, so I think that we can also start looking at that and say that, okay, we have to look at other ways of protecting the residents, preventing people from hitting those very high speed because they can't. So it's because of that that we now say, okay, let's do this experiment and see how it is. And if it works, we also plan to use this study, and even if it works, and provide it to FHWA. I think they should rethink about how these speed studies are being done.
So this is a new way of doing the speed study, is what you're saying?
Yes, it's an innovative way. It has not been done this way.
Okay. I want to add, too, there's been some corridor changes, too. There's development mm-hmm. that has put in a huge subdivision along this stretch of L. So we really want to have that play a factor into the speed study, because more and more residents are pulling into that subdivision on a 55-mile-an-hour road. Mm-hmm. Is that really the safest option? So I would say it's not only with the complaints that are coming in, but the more complaints because of the corridor changes and becoming more of a subdivision kind of
orientation. So it's more than one complaint.
That's what
Correct.
Happened on AH.
Correct. It's the speed with the corridor changes of development.
I thought I heard just live.
Right.
One complaint,
right.
And I'm like,
that's what happened on AH, where it was at 55 and even turning down, I forget what the road is.
Yes.
We slowed it down.
Three sections.
You know, that one section, just because people turning left or turning right going in there. And that's what I was going to bring up on this is, now you take Highway C. You know, I live basically a block off Highway C out west. And there was nowhere near the population when that road was put in and built, and as there is now. And the one other issue, there's these newfangled automobiles called electric vehicles out there that are 2, 3, 4 times heavier than a regular internal government. What are we doing about that for the designing of our roads? Because those are going to eat those roads up faster than they ever got eaten up before, because of the weight of the vehicle. You almost have to put it like if you were doing truck stops or whatever. So, you know, we should be concerning ourselves with that going into the future. I got nothing against the technology of electric vehicle, but let's look at the reality of it and unintended consequences. It's a very heavy vehicle, and much more so than the vehicles that they're replacing to some extent. So I think we, you know, the speed study probably is a good thing. Now, how do we measure that? So you're just measuring the speed, and it's just recording how many are going over the speed limit, how many, it's just recording the speed, and then you just, every vehicle that goes by, and then for 6 months, and then they can say, hey, half of them were 5 miles over, half of them were 5 miles under, or whatever it is that you're looking for?
Oh, yes. It's a complete data. It tells you the counts, tells you the speeds, tells you so many things. And then you can analyze it in different ways, and then you can also say that with this amount of traffic volume, now that we are talking, we chose 6 months because there are some other business activities along that period. It would tell us how many cars, traffic volumes, and what are the speed. So we'll be doing it because our counters, they can last for maybe 2 weeks max. So we usually take 1 week count.
Yeah.
So what we'll do is that every 2 months, we'll repeat the count. Every 2 months, we'll repeat the count.
Okay.
So right now, we know what the counts are before the signs went up.
Okay.
So we'll just wait and give it some time. Maybe in 2 months' time, we'll do the first count. And then another two. So at the end of the 6 months, we have three counts. And the three counts, I think, is enough. Or we can even make it as many as we want, maybe every month.
Mm-hmm.
That way we have enough data to see a trend.
In the past, how does it differ from, it was just car counting and...
In the past, we just do what we are doing now for the different...
It's a different process, but trying to accumulate enough information to make a decision on. But
it's the same process, but the fact is the only difference is that the speed limit is still 55 miles per hour.
Yeah.
Now the speed limit is 45, and then we are repeating that process. So it's going to be, the daily study is going to be exactly the same as what we have done already. But we'll be doing it when the speed limit has been reduced, and then we'll look at it to see whether it's indicating that they're driving to that speed limit.
Okay, got it. Thank you. Supervisor
Stein. Yeah, so just a couple of questions. You said L. Where is this? Is this the same portion of L where we discussed that we're going to be redoing?
No.
So where is this going to be?
From H to 31.
From H to 31. Okay, so right past, that's Jerry's mess right there?
Correct.
So that area.
Yes. And that, I'm hoping that during the pumpkin season?
For the fall?
Yes, we also try to make sure that we get data during that time.
So are you going to time it so that it's after the road's been resurfaced? Because I would imagine if you're resurfacing L further east, that's going to be directing a lot of traffic probably away from there anyway. Just curious if people are using alternate routes to get around the construction.
No, it was still, the way the alternate routes are, they will still come back to L.
Okay, and then just to reiterate, just so I make sure I'm understanding, is it currently 55, that section?
Correct.
Okay, so right now it's 55. You guys usually do a speed study. Most people go 60 comfortably, right? Nobody's going to go 50. So what you're saying is you're going to put up signs that say the speed limit is now
45
to see if people can adapt to driving maybe closer to 50 or, you know, and then that will give you the justification to, because who has the ultimate authority to set that speed limit? Is it the county? Does the state have to write off on it? Like, who gets to determine?
Clement does.
Okay, so the county board says.
Clement does. Clement, yeah.
Okay, so that comes through. So what, you started saying there's new legislation going through the Senate and stuff. How does that affect what you told us?
Yeah, because this we are just thinking out of the box. It has nothing to do with that resolution. We are just trying to show that there are other ways to look at speed study. And this is, you take an action and then you study it. Because the traditional way is not working.
Okay.
And it's not only Kenosha County. If we were on Highway 32, in the median on Highway 32, okay, nobody's, I was there. The DOT engineer says, well, I just want to be honest with you, I'm sorry. You can do that speed study 300 times, there's no way it's going to get low. Because everybody knows that it's not going to low. So that's why we want to be the pace setter, so to speak. Okay, if the traditional way is not working, so what? So we just say, okay, it's not working. So we are trying other ways to see if it is possible. That's why we do this.
So is that 45 speed limit going to be legally enforceable?
That's exactly what I was going to ask.
And is that going to impact the ball on the county board?
It is not legally enforceable.
Okay.
However, the traveling public does not know that.
Right. As long as they don't read our minutes.
Right, yes.
So they'll figure it out quickly, I'm sure, though.
Well, they will figure it out. They will just see the signs. Okay. So the idea is this. If it works, then the speed study will show that 45 miles per hour is the right speed study, the right posted speed. Then we'll write a resolution recommending to to lower the speed limit from 55 to 45. And then it goes through the county board, approves that. Once the county board approves that, then it becomes enforceable.
Okay.
However, the county board can also ask that speed limit to be enforceable, but I don't want that to happen. I just wanted to see how people react normally to lowering the speed stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we don't want any interference from something that will force the traveling public to do something. Just the sign should be able to force them to lower the speed limit. And if that works, then we've achieved our goal.
Yeah. If speed signs work,
this could be a question more of Shelley on the highway. Clements, you're going to be gone when?
April 19th.
April 19th.
It's my last day.
So where are we with replacing? Not that I want to replace you.
That's okay.
Yeah,
but
we do.
Somebody's going to replace you.
Yeah.
Where are we with that at this point?
We have finalized with HR today, so I'm assuming it's going to get posted in this next update of job postings, which I think is Friday's.
Yeah. So there'll be no chance of overlapping whatsoever.
What is it? Not likely, but it'll be very close thereafter.
Right. So if he's gone, who takes care of the highway commissioner's responsibilities?
There likely will be an interim assigned at that point.
Somebody that's here?
Yes.
Okay. It could be anybody or somebody?
Somebody that's worked with in the engineering and the highway division.
Okay. Right. So there's a transition.
So just so you know, they will not even realize that I've left. So if that's what you're concerned, trust me, they are good.
We'll get you back from.
See, the way you laugh is so funny, right? But that's the truth.
Tim, did you have another question?
No, that was it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Comment? Anything else on this?
You guys made my time long enough, so.
I do have a question. No, I'm kidding.
Do I have to approve it?
No, I don't think we do anything on this one. I think it's just a report on the speed limit. When it comes up, if there's going to be a resolution to lower it, we would have to approve that. Okay. So are we good on highways then? Thank you, Clement. Appreciate working with you.
All right.
Hope things are just as good or better where you're going.
Say that again.
I said, I hope things are just as good or better to where you're going.
To be honest, I've had a few meetings and similar.
Well, the one thing I did hear about Madison is it's 6 square miles. Surrounded by reality. They're in reality here, so I don't know what it's going to be like there.
I anticipate the challenges there will be different.
Yeah.
But they're pretty much set up like us here. It's just that they have twice as much county lane miles, central lane miles, and even more lane miles for state highways. They do things a little bit different, and there's some maintenance activities that we, operations that we do here that they don't there, and they do there that they don't here.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be, the more I talk to them, and I feel much comfortable.
Good. Well, you're only a little uncomfortable. You don't want to be too comfortable.
But is their county board as nice as ours?
I don't know. I've been just to their public works committee meeting, and it's similar to this one.
Okay, thank you, Connor. Jim, golf.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One change, I'm not sure if I put this on the updated version that I sent you guys, but we do have an outdoor conventional golf round total for the season, and it is just over 2,300 and change.
Oh, really?
So we are on a good little head start. The weather's kind of normalized a bit in the last couple weeks, but we are reopening again on Thursday and hope to just sort of stay open moving forward. The weather forecast isn't the greatest either, but temperatures are above enough to where we can
sure forward.
Give that to Mr. Stocker. I brought a plant set for the red room, just in case anybody wanted to look at it. I know I sent it over electronically, but that's the nuts and bolts of the red course improvements.
So you said we were just over 2,300 rounds?
Right? 23, it's like 2,389, I believe.
This year compared to last. Yeah, something like that.
I think it's 2389.
And last year?
It was zero.
What's that?
Last year it was zero at this time.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't remember.
Yeah, we tried to open like right after St. Patty's last year, and it snowed the day we set for opening day. So our sort of hybrid approach is, it worked. We got some revenue through the doors early on. We had February golf this year, and I don't think we can count on events like this every year.
Right.
But it was nice to sort of capitalize on some of that, let folks get out and scratch their itch for golf a little bit. Mm-hmm.
2,328. All rounds of in total 2,328 this year compared to last year.
Okay,
that's a lot for being large.
Yeah. I mean, we had a couple days where it was almost 70 degrees. We had some really good days, and they happen to be on weekends. That was a big help. I think if it would have happened on a Monday or Tuesday, it wouldn't have benefited us so much. But it worked well. So
might have been a lot more people taking off work.
Yeah, it worked well. So we'll try to maintain a flexible approach like that.
Sure.
In the, March is kind of a month you never know what you're going to get. So just going to sort of program the staff to stay ready for that. Things like that to happen.
Okay. Anybody have any questions for?
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'm thankful that you're flexible enough to do all that. I think that speaks highly of how you're doing things.
And the staff gets all the credit. They were willing to, they're the ones that have to be at the register and get the golf course ready. And so they were open to it. And I told them that it couldn't work without them being flexible. And it was a new kind of thing for them, too. Our golf shop staff, they were already working the simulators anyway, so it facilitates some outdoor golf. But yeah, the staffs at both golf courses were great about it. They were open to it, and it worked out well.
That's all I have.
Go ahead.
So how do these improvements, I'm just glancing through the notes a little bit, but are these going to affect play? Is it not going to affect play? Is it just going to be a minor inconvenience for the people playing?
So basically what we did with the irrigation was after Labor Day, when we started the work after Labor Day, we're going to do that again with the irrigation. And with the irrigation project, we were able to open the golf course on Friday afternoon, Saturday, and Sunday. So if the contractor is open to that, we'll do that again. We didn't specify that in the bid because if they get behind on weather, they're going to want to work 6 days a week to get it done. But being after Labor Day start, last year, so we lost the red course basically after Labor Day last year, and we still surpassed our total rounds from 2022. So that's the reason why we're doing nine holes. And going forward, when we do the blue course, we'll do nine holes a year to always keep 36 holes open at Brighton Hill to not have a huge impact on the revenue side of things. If we can still offer people 36 holes of golf to play, we can still fill the parking lot. And especially if we can time into where we're performing the work after Labor Day when there's kind of a natural die-off in rounds anyway, it works really well. So yes, we will lose some playable days on the Red Pines 9 after Labor Day, and also our driving range, because we're going to make some improvements there as well, as you see in the plan. But we don't expect a huge impact on total rounds.
That brings up a point, I guess. I never thought about this. Do we have numbers on the driving range, on the kind of numbers it brings in compared to what it costs to keep it open? Is it just kind of, we charge enough to keep the repairs going on the driving range and collect the balls and do what we got to do?
Yeah, it does about $20,000 in revenue per year. 20 to 25 in
good year.
What?
So profit-wise, probably $10,000-$12,000.
Oh, so it's not too bad, though.
No, us losing that won't be a huge impact.
Okay.
And then, because it's so small.
Yeah, right. But do we project that we'll be doing more in the driving range once we enlarge it?
Probably a little. The pad's growing by, I think we're going from 6 bays to maybe 10 or 11, so it's not getting much bigger. It's more about safety is a concern for this, because we're shifting the teeing ground back and re-angling it. Because right now, where they tee off from, most younger players can hit it right into number 2 of the red pine scorpus on the backside. So we're moving it back 10, 15 yards, but we're also shifting it. So it's going to be much harder for your average player to reach number 2. There's times I've been driving down the path on number 2 red and golf ball. So that was the main reason for the project.
And then the rounds that have been played, do we have a larger or more, I don't know, cautious way of releasing people onto the course when it's this early because of more damage that could be done than the normal regular play?
Absolutely. We always take cart path only, basically, until the grass starts growing, until the grass can recover. We try to keep the cart traffic off. But inevitably, you're going to get some people that take a ride. But for the most part, we are cart path only, and we still are. And usually it's pretty wet this time of year as well. So.
Yeah, because you're really not cutting it at this point, hardly.
No, we've cut greens one time at each property, cut fairways one time at each property. Greens will most likely be cut again this week. But until soil temperatures reach 55 degrees, we're not going to see a lot of growth.
Right. So then when you get to the the par threes, you're going to get a lot of divot. You're not getting anything growing there. So
correct.
Although it's not a tremendous amount of play, but you're not going to, you move the tees, you're going to have those divot marks there for a long time until we start getting. So is that a concern?
The fact that we weren't open every day, Pets has only been open 4 or 5 days.
Yeah.
This whole stretch. And Bryantdale, not too many more.
Yeah.
So if we had good enough weather where we were going to be open every day, we would have to get more creative with 9 holes here, 9 holes here, really controlling where traffic is, mainly on par 3 tees. Yeah. Now, we will go out and do a big divot filling, and some of that stuff will germinate. We use a special compost that does help with that. So we will. That was one of our first thoughts, too, is traffic.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's definitely something we stay aware of. For
okay.
Sure.
And is there an upcharge for what we have to do? It's like there's not a whole lot going on, so I'm thinking that, maybe you're not really putting a lot of time, money, and effort into cutting greens and fairways and that, but you had to put a little bit more in, the par threes and
right.
Stuff.
Well, it kind of works out to be 6-1, half a dozen another.
All right.
We're on our spring rates until I think April 29th.
Yeah.
We move to summer rates.
Right. Okay. All right. It's just something that came up. I thought that might have been a little bit more costly, but then again, you're not cutting.
And luckily at Brightdale, we can shift if we're having one course open. We can shift that from white to blue to red. And Pets here a little more restricted there.
Okay.
It's definitely something we're watching closely.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Anybody else? Any questions? All right. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you.
All right. Shelley, you got it.
Yes. So the resolution to approve a land rental agreement with UW-Madison for the installation of a weather station. They had approached us to take about a 15-foot by 15-foot space in our prairie here at the KCC to install, operate, and maintain a weather station. This will get them information on wind speed, direction, temperature, relative humidity, air pressure, solar radiation, precipitation, soil moisture, and temperature, which will help in their studies of climate change impacts on our trees that are planted in the arboretum. So staff recommends approval.
Moved by Supervisor O'Day, is there a second?
No second.
Second by Supervisor Stock. Any discussion? I do. I think I saw, was this in the paper recently?
Yes.
Okay, so there isn't anything like this currently in the county?
Correct.
correct.
Do you know for Sing County or Walworth County or?
No, I do not know offhand if there's the other counties. I know it's part of the WISC, what is it, WISC Connect process. So they are trying to add another 20, I believe, this year to the state of Wisconsin, and Kenosha County was one of their 20.
And it's just a collection station. I'm sure everything's remote. They're supplying it. I guess we have supply power, or do they?
It's got hooked up to the, I'm assuming their cellular data, so they don't need any.
That's why solar.
Right.
Windmill out there.
Correct. Solar with cell connection.
So it's going to be sufficient. It'll be independent of anything that we're doing.
Correct.
Okay. All right. And go ahead, Supervisor Stock.
So it's not a tower. It's literally.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
I was envisioning a tower, until I saw the picture.
That is the picture. Yeah.
No environmental impact on this.
No.
Okay. Any other questions? All right. Seeing other questions, youth and governance. How are you voting on the resolution?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Rest of the committee.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay, show me the next one.
A resolution to accept Monsanto settlement funds, establishing fund for improvement projects and approving expenditures. This was a result of a class action lawsuit against Monsanto Company and a few other companies in relation to a claim that they produced a class of PCBs that led to environmental contamination. So Kenosha County was part of that settlement, which gave us $969,080. And part of that, we were looking for how to address these funds. They will be segregated, and we've identified three possible projects coming up that may help us in use of those funds, one being the Hillside Hardware property, Roosevelt Auto Body, putting those back on the tax rolls, and then 17th Court, which is formerly known as the Orange Ooze site, will help us do some environmental investigations on those three sites. So I have Jen here that actually drafted the resolution, and Andy, who knows, is familiar with some of these environmental properties, as well as myself, to answer any questions.
Okay. And just so everybody knows, this did go through finance. First, there was a time constraint, so I allowed it to go to finance before us seeing it. So I just want to let them know they did pass it unanimously. But tell us anything else you can add to Andy.
No, I think just a couple things. She did a good job explaining it. This was the type of thing that we don't get very often. It was a class action lawsuit that we didn't really, I mean, we were given notice, but we didn't know about it unless you opted out of it. So last spring sometime, we got a check for $969,000. It showed up at the clerk's office, and no one really knew where it was coming from or what strings were attached to it. So we spent some time sort of getting up to speed on the class action lawsuit. We worked very closely with the WCA on it as well, because we were not the only county to get the money. I think we included in the packet as well sort of a legislative memo that they had kind of put out from the WCA talking about the settlement, the funds, how it could be used, things of that nature. So we spent some time getting up to speed on that. And then we also wanted to work with the DNR and in Wisconsin to make sure there was not going to be any restrictions placed on these funds. The concern was that we would, you know, choose projects and how to spend it, and then all of a sudden somebody might come back and say, well, wait, you got the settlement, now you're expected to do X, Y, and Z. Although we were identified as a class member, we also verified that we are not aware of any contamination issues, that we do not have a problem in any of these waterways that we are familiar with, say we don't see any contamination, because we wanted to make sure that was addressed. From a legal standpoint, there is a lot of discretion in how to use the funds. We were trying to figure out to put it in an interest-bearing account to generate the money going forward, but then how to spend it. There is not a specific order or tie. I think the way that it's phrased in the documents is that the funds are intended to compensate settlement class members for restitution and remediation, including mitigation of contaminated property, stormwater, and stormwater systems. So again, I think that what Patty explained at the Finance Committee is the auditors are saying it's kind of earmarked, you know, so to speak, like we should try to use these funds for contaminated properties, clean up environmental concerns. What we did, working with Shelley and Andy and the administration was identify three projects, which we thought there was an immediate need to do that, and then place in the remainder of the fund in an interest-bearing account where we'd be able to sort of use it for these types of projects going forward. Anything going forward will have to come back to the county board and various committees for approval or budgetary modifications in any budgets going forward. So I'm happy to answer any other questions, but I think that touches on.
First, can we get a motion to approve then? I don't think we did that yet before we get into any discussion.
Move to approve.
Stocker, O'Day, second. Okay. Supervisor Stock.
Thank you. Just so the county owned the three properties that's on the county has owns them currently, these properties, or what's the arrangement?
Yes. So right now we don't. The Hillside and Roosevelt are tax delinquent properties, as well as a component of what we're going to call 17th Court. We do own five of those parcels. I think there's eight others that are tax delinquent. So once we go through the tax delinquent, they would be considered abandoned properties. Therefore, an environmental liability could be kept for us that we're exempt from that. And this would help us then correlate and work with the city specifically. For example, on Hillside Harbor, we're in a draft of a negotiation right now that'll come to the board if they take that site and clean up that site, what the county's willing to do for that. So there's some other negotiations to get those properties back on the tax roll. Is kind of the goal for at least two of these sites.
So if we clean them up, are we selling them back to the city? Do we get any of this money back?
That's what's being talked about at this point, is what does that mean? What does that, how much funds are we putting in? How much funds would the city necessarily have to put in to get that back on the tax roll?
Okay.
And Exhibit B to the resolution kind of does a very, very basic breakdown of the environmental costs associated with each of these projects, just the phase one study, phase two demolitions. It's how we get to the $431,000 for those.
Okay.
Couldn't get to the dry cleaners at the Guinness
system. Right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and that kind of leads in. What, obviously these are the three that you guys are presenting, but what else was in the running? What else was presented? Could it have been used for human services, building, environmental things, or could it be used for the Pike River restoration that we're currently working on? Is there, you know, what options do we have with these funds for, as far as ongoing projects that we're working on right now?
And if you look at Exhibit A, it kind of gives some very basic purposes, you know, what's going forward. I think as long as we can satisfy that there are some environmental concerns, contamination concerns, things of that nature, I think there'd be various projects going forward where we could use the money for, like river or a few other issues. And again, I think that would be something then that would come back forward in a separate resolution, separate idea of the funds, and separate kind of approval of the expenditure of those funds towards it. So I think the way that Patty described it at finance was, you know, it'll be put in a separate interest-bearing account, a separate bank account, but where the interest being generated is not going into the general fund. It's going to hopefully continue to grow interest, and then there'll be projects like that in the future where we're going to be able to say, okay, we now have this fund, it's generating X amount of interest, we can use it for the Pike River, we can use it for the human services building or other contamination issues. And I think as long as there's some general thought being given to, does it meet the environmental purposes, contamination, mitigation, you know, things like the general spirit and intent, I think an argument could be made that the funds could be used for that.
Okay. And were there other, I'm just out of curiosity, were there other projects that were top of mind right underneath these top three that you guys were thinking about, or I'm just curious? These are just the ones that were kind of stuck with these properties?
My understanding was that these projects have been a very source of significant concern for quite some time as to how to do remediation effects. So I think these three came to mind fairly quickly. But we did spend a fair amount of time sort of internally talking about it, looking at what else can be done. And these were just three that we had sort of the immediate need for right now that we could easily identify. But I don't think there was anything else specific.
Right. I think like what Jen was saying before is we would go through that budgetary process, mm-hmm. where a lot of those other projects are in the future, is how could this play a role in those funds moving forward, okay. if we need to.
Okay.
But these were three that we're kind of working on in 2024 and seeing what we can proceed with, what might make sense to do now, and then do a budgetary, knowing that we have some dollars there to be able to fill in some gaps that we may have.
I know we were looking at some things, the cleanup of the properties that were, as they became abandoned, those are properties on the Fox River. Is that, would that kind of fall into this category too, acquiring those properties and?
Those are more of a floodplain.
So that's a separate?
Would be a separate.
Okay.
I believe there's different funds that can acquire for acquisition of those. So this would be a separate entity. They really don't have environmental conditions. They're more of a floodplain issue.
Okay.
So we thought that that line could be distinguished between the acquisition of like the Fox River versus environmental or stormwater management.
Okay, so these are the three immediate ones, and then that makes sense to me. As you prepare future budgets, you're going to be looking at this pile of money and going, how can we reduce the levy, right, and use these for projects. So.
Yeah, I'll just kind of add, in years past, as tax delinquent properties have come to us, there have been environmental concerns with them, which we've had to use other funds. So now as this happens into the future with additional properties, we'll have some funds available that we can tackle, you know, and it'll meet that requirement.
And what is the timeline on these? Is it 2 years out? Like once you start these projects, is it going to, I mean, we're going to be, is it, once we start the ball rolling, is it going to be a couple of years before this is finalized?
Yes. Usually they take a couple of years before we really, or at least a year to really understand the environmental issues and how you can remediate those. Every property's got different issues, so how do we go forth with that? That's what these dollars would help us get to, is to say, okay, we need to do A, B, and C to get this project to site closure where it can then go on to a developer to develop the property. So usually a couple of years process in doing all of that work is pretty standard.
No, thank you. That's all I had.
Just a question. The city is not involved in these things, am I right?
Correct. So the hills, these are properties are all within the city of Kenosha.
Right.
Right.
Did they ever say thank you?
Did they get any of this money?
I mean, it's cooperation between two governments. It's really,
yes.
It's a benefit for them, but we end up being the ones getting the money, so we do it for them. They might want to pat you on the back sometime along the way. You never know. A little give and take.
We keep trying.
So, how hard are the numbers on these three projects? Are they likely to differ quite a bit?
These are just our estimates going off from past sites of similar in nature. So as we get through the phase ones, phase twos, we'll get
so
a little closer on the
costs.
It could
go up.
It could possibly.
It's wise to keep some of this money there to cover
correct
future costs.
Okay.
And we don't have a time limit to use the funds. We have the funds.
We have the funds. There's no
time limit. You don't use them on whatever the definition is. Now, I grew up in a large city south of the border. Not that large, but the largest one you get to after Zion. And their lakefront, you know, had the PCBs on it, which, you know, from their manufacturing. There's nothing like that here that we have in Kenosha County, well, necessarily just to say the city, or anywhere in Kenosha County where we had some sort of manufacturing. I don't know if that was OMC, Johnson Motors, whatever it was. But they also had asbestos manufacturing down there too, so I think that's kind of where it came from. But I don't recall seeing anything like that up here, but do we have any history, past history of that? Because again, mm-hmm. we look at the human services buildings, oh my gosh, there was a dry cleaner there. Well, I bet John probably knew there was a dry cleaner there at some point. As you lived here a long time,
yeah.
right? He may not remember, but he probably knew at the time there was a dry cleaner. So, I mean, are there enough records to go back to see if there's sites that are actually contaminated that just aren't built on?
Yeah, and what we did part of this analysis was, I think we worked with Andy's team and we sort of looked at what was the identified waterways, you know, based on the Monsanto defendants.
Okay.
And where were they, and I think we had a map, you know, that kind of showed where they were, and I don't know if you remember where they were or not. And then, like I said, that was part of the conversation that we were having, and what took some time until we had a meeting in December with the WCA and the counties that got big settlements, sort of getting some verification with the DNR and the EPA.
Okay.
And all of that to say, we're not aware of anything. We don't have anything on our radar right now saying there's PCB contamination that needs to be remediated.
Okay.
We tried as best as we could to get some assurances from the DNR and the EPA that they don't know anything, that they're not going to come back and say, oh, wait, guys, yeah. Now here's this contamination source. But that is something to keep in mind and why we're saying keep it separate, keep it in an account in case something does come down.
Yeah.
You know, the river somewhere where we're going to say, now we have an issue and we need to remediate it. This is going to be a source that we can use that for.
So maybe somebody who's, I don't know, affiliated with the, I don't know, Kenosha Historical Society might be able to look some records up and see if there was any issues.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that we knew of back in the day. I mean, just to help out moving forward.
Yeah.
I'm not saying don't do it with the projects that we're looking at, but, you know, just have something. But then do we want to open a can of worms at the same time?
You know? Well, you know, the mayor... when he was not mayor, he was 5 years doing land reclamation. You know that. So he's got more records than anybody about American Motors land,
right?
Brass, the land there, Simmons, those three places had contaminated grounds, and it was all reclamated. So,
okay. Well, that's a good point. A lot of that's been turned over.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? Questions? Go ahead, Zach.
Supervisor Belsky mentioned it briefly, I think two meetings ago. Why is it called the orange juice again?
Okay.
For the younger people here that don't know.
The Kenosha News just asked me that question. My understanding, and Attorney John Moyer explained it to me, we did some research on this, because it was that question came up, is do we really want to refer to it as orange juice because of how that sounds? I was told that it's been a term that's been used for decades and decades, and it's just something that people are familiar with. What it really relates to is that the colored water is orange because it's like a rust-colored water from fill and things that have been deposited in the soil. So it looks like it has an orange coloring to it. It's not toxic. It's not an ooze. It's not a substance.
Agent Orange.
Right. But somehow that name stuck. And like I said, when we spoke about this, even I think the county exec was like, we want to refer to it as the orange. And Attorney Moyer had said, it's something that people that live in Kenosha County are very familiar with it. It's just this rust-colored water that has come from things that have been deposited on various sites. What was the example?
So it showed up in the Pike Creek over near Porio Park.
Mm-hmm.
The complaint came in that they had seen an orange ooze coming out of the ground into the creek.
Mm-hmm.
So it was from the fill material where it had a lot of the rust in that water. So they ended up sealing a storm sewer pipe that led to that site, and that stopped this orange ooze from coming in for as long as 20 plus years.
Years.
So that's my history of what I know about the site.
Do you have anything more you need
to? I can add a little bit. So the site was a very large site from the creek all the way to, what is that, 15th Court?
Yeah.
Yep.
And so the city had areas that they worked on that Shelley just talked about. Then there were some of these other areas that have been just sitting that were all part of this larger unit, but weren't all the same, but it got that name for the whole unit. And so we've been actually working with the DNR on this 715th Court area that's separated from the orange ooze site because they're really separate sites. That site had the orange, the other site had just fill. And so, yeah.
So I think the gist of it is it's orange-colored water resulting from rust. that's my basic understanding. So, yes.
You see that with things high in iron, too.
Yeah.
Water's
coming
high iron.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, no, I neighbor, you built his house same year I built mine. His well went like 60 feet. Mine was 260 feet. Mm-hmm. He turned on, it's hot water, you watch it turn yellow.
Yeah.
Honestly, mm-hmm. It was just like, but you're going to drink that.
Yeah.
But that's just the way it is.
Yeah, I agree.
Taste it and almost feel it too.
Iron in the water.
So were there any older plating companies in Kenosha on sites that are currently abandoned?
I'm not aware.
That you know of, so you know, them chrome, you know, something you had cars being built here, you know, they have, or maybe they were on that site, I don't know. But you know, because they'll use nasty chemicals.
Mm-hmm. And those are things we tend to find out when we take tax delinquent property and we have to start doing phase one.
Yeah, just roll it out the back door. Yeah, roll it out and just dump it over there. So. Okay. All right, so we have a first and a second. Any other discussion? Seeing no discussion, youth governance, how do you vote on it? Spending money that we got for nothing.
Aye.
Okay, rest of the committee, those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Shelley. Anything other you want to bring up, Shelley, from the...
Just a couple items. April 26th is Arbor Day here at KCC, so I have some flyers if anyone is interested. April 25th, us at DPW are going to be part of the Bring Your Child to Work Day through
April 25th?
April 25th. So we are going to have some activities for all the kiddos that may not be able to attend with their highway patrol workers or parks maintenance or golf maintenance. We're going to have some activities that kind of correlate to those fields of study here at KCC. So we're going to schedule for that. And then April 18th, Thursday, we're in the afternoon, we're planning to have coffee and cake for Clement's send-off. So all are invited if you attend, and we'll be sending out an invite once we get that kind of finalized with times. But Thursday will allow highway department to be here for that send-off as well. So.
Okay.
Now, those are the things I have.
Okay. Do we have any questions for Shelley? All right. Thank you, Shelley. Any other matters that are appropriate to be brought forth to committee? Do we have anything?
Motion to adjourn.
Second. Who second? Stockton. All right, this time
we've got a fight for there's only four of us.
For the last time,
three of us.
How do you vote? Exactly. To adjourn? Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Anybody opposed? Okay.